Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quinncast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Sean Tooby portrayed Brian Cooper on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, and today we are very honored to have him take the time to speak with us. Sean, please welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time seriously.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to speak with Beth Sullivan, and I'm just going to call her Helen, like, you know, Helen Udi. And Jennifer Young's just last night, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and everybody had a lot of nice things to say say about you, so that's good.
They're all lying.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I was like, there's no way is this guy. No. So a little bit of a backstory. Kelly watched Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman when she was a kid, and she grew up watching it. And I just watched it for the first time maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And we started this podcast, and we started reaching out to all of you guys, and here you are. We tricked you into coming on. So I guess first and foremost, when you look back at Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, do you have like an overall thought of the entire experience? I mean, it was such a big part of your childhood that I'm wondering, is it very positive, just a learning experience? Like, do you have words that you can put into the experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to simplify the 6 years into just a few words, but no, it was overall, I would say it was nothing but a positive experience. You're right that it was a very formative piece of my life, and probably mostly because it was, you know, the formative time in my life. I was 8 when we shot the pilot, just about to turn 9. And then I was 15. Well, I guess I was 14 when the series ended, and then turned 15 shortly after that, when we did the first TV movie. But yeah, it was a great experience. We had most of the crew and most of the cast was all together for the 6 years, so it really became an extended family, and we were pretty tight knit.
I mean, you grew up literally on camera. I mean, it's kind of an incredible thing. Do you ever? I don't want to monopolize all the questions. I'm sorry, Kelly. Would you like to ask?
No, it's usual.
I'm always bullying Kelly. That's my thing. So go on, Kelly.
So when you kind of look back on, you know, your acting career now that you're an adult, and kind of how you're growing up on set, and I believe you have a child of your own now, is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
Does what does your child think of, you know, that you were a child actor? Do you discuss it with your kid much, or do you have, you know, kind of lessons you learn from that you kind of impart onto your own child?
Yeah, we do talk about it. I don't want to say quite a bit, but it's not an infrequent topic of conversation. Coincidentally, we just went through watching the series ourselves as a family.
Really?
Interesting.
I think it was last year, maybe the year before. I don't remember exactly, but relatively recently.
Yeah, that's really cool that you have that to share with your kid, you know, but I imagine it's kind of like a weird experience in a way, right? I mean, I would think it's sort of surreal in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know what it's like for her. For me, like, it was good to watch through the series again, because it brought up a lot of memories that I hadn't thought about in quite a while, and remembering certain scenes that were when we shot and different stuff that happened behind the scenes that I hadn't thought about in a while. So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you did that too, because one of our questions that we've been asking everybody that we've been talking to from the show is, like, do you ever watch the show? Or, like, if you, like, are scanning through the channels and you see it on TV, like, would you ever, you know, sit down and watch an episode? And you're the first one who I think has really, like, just, like, sat down and watched the whole series through again, you know, that we've talked to so far. So that's pretty cool that you did that.
I have a question. Did you have to buy the DVD set, or was it provided to you?
You know what? I honestly, I don't remember. I've had them for a number of years, and I don't remember if we...
I didn't know if you went out and, like, said, all right, I'm going to order it.
No.
Do you get, like, the Bryan Cooper discount or something? Yeah.
No, unfortunately not. No.
there's got to be an online code you enter and get a discount or something, right?
You'd think there would be something like that, wouldn't you?
Put in Wolf to save 10%. did you, when you were rewatching it, did you find that you... did you enjoy the series? Like, is it something that you thought, like, all right, maybe not as a kid, maybe you wouldn't watch it necessarily as a kid, but now you're viewing it as an adult. Did you find that you enjoyed the series on its own? Like, if you could somehow disconnect yourself from the show?
That's an interesting question. It's honestly, it's a hard one to answer just because it was such a big part of my life that I don't know that I can honestly answer how it would be to
sure.
completely yeah. disconnect myself from it. I don't know. My wife was also a big fan of the show when she was younger, and so she was really kind of the one that prompted us to start watching the series as a family. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it. It's a good series. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it brought up a lot of good memories. I don't know that I would have sat down to watch it on my own
right.
if my wife hadn't prompted me to do it or prompted us to do it. But I did enjoy it. I mean, there's some good episodes, and there's some episodes that are more mediocre. But overall, I think it was a pretty solid run.
What's a TV show that you normally would like? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, goodness. well, my all-time favorite TV show is Psych.
Oh, I love I just finished that with my son.
Yeah.
We loved it. there are so many... It's really weird for us, of course, to kind of imagine Brian watching the show. And maybe that's also a kind of an interesting thing for your wife to also go through. She watched the show before she knew you, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yep. She watched the show growing up.
That must've been a tremendous kind of, very interesting type of thing. She might like our podcast.
I mean, I imagine it must've been really interesting though, just when, like, she met you and you started a relationship, and that's, like, a really interesting, she kind of knew you in a way before she knew you.
Yeah, to a certain extent. She often reminds me that she identified more with Colleen.
Of course.
Which one?
Well, that makes sense, I suppose. Yeah, which one? The first one or the second one?
Yeah, Colleen 1 or Colleen 2. we actually spoke to Beth in length about the switch of the Colleens. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a very, you know, it all seemed like kind of an interesting and very Hollywood moment.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, always a really hot topic too. You know, we're in, like, these groups on Facebook and stuff, and people are always, like, debating the two Colleens and which one is better. And
which one's better dressed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, right. Come on, Sean, you know all this stuff. So, so did you find that any of the episodes stood out to you where you're like, oh, this was a lot of fun to watch. Or maybe something where you just thought, oh, this is just totally cringeworthy. Like, maybe you didn't like the brain surgery episode or something. That might stand out to me.
Yeah, I don't know that I thought that there were any that were cringeworthy. Okay. There were some that jumped out at me as more fun or maybe more fun to shoot than others. The baseball episode is always a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. That was right about the same time that I was in Little League.
Oh, awesome.
And so that was sparked my interest quite a bit. The Brother's Keeper episode, where Pup got rabies and, mm-hmm. and, bit Ingrid and all that happened with that. That was,
it's intense. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's pretty intense, you know, to that yeah. whole scenario. I'm yeah, sure also for you, you know, losing a cast member, you know, it's, you know, Ingrid is being ridden out of the show and this person you worked with for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was emotionally intense, both watching it and to film it. And it, you know, it was an interesting time. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what are some of the other ones that were really good? The circus episode, I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed getting to work so closely with Orson mm-hmm. throughout the series, but especially in that episode.
Yeah, you had that fun little clown routine with him on that.
Yeah,
it's pretty memorable.
That was he was a fun guy to work with. He was he would teach me old vaudeville routines, mm-hmm. most of them appropriate for someone of my age, but
right.
yeah, we had a pretty good time.
Yeah, we hear a lot of really great stories about Orson and you know, of course, the tragedy of losing him. But a lot of people were saying, Beth Sullivan pointed out how she wanted him to be more of a curmudgeon, his character, and how you and him created this kind of relationship, and he kind of, the character kind of worked around that, and it just, he couldn't be a curmudgeon with you.
Yeah.
Like, it was
there
kind of
there was definitely a special relationship between Brian and Mr. Bray, yeah. that kind of that grandfatherly, whether he wanted it to be or not.
Right. So when you were shooting, do you recall, like, what would you do in between shoots? Because I understand there's a lot of downtime in between, you know, when other people are shooting and you're just kind of on set.
Yeah, there is a certain amount of downtime between scenes. Mm-hmm. As a child, you have to go to school on the set. So we were required to do 3 hours a day of school, at least. So that took up a lot of our downtime. Mm-hmm. And then if we had more time available in that 3 hour or more than that 3 hours available in a day, we could bank more time for future days when maybe we didn't. The shooting was a little bit more intense and we didn't quite have as much time to get away and do school. But as a child actor, there are certain laws, labor laws that they have to follow. And, it changes as you get older, but, for most of the time that I was on the set, I could only work 9.5 hours a day. So
only,
and three of those had to be school. And so then they were working with somewhat limited time some days.
It's a pretty long day. I mean,
for a child, that's a really long day.
Long day for me.
I mean, really, it is. I mean, that's like a long day, I think, just for anybody.
Yeah, really?
I don't work 9 hours a day.
I guess you grow yeah. pretty quickly with a schedule like that.
Yeah, I guess it can be. It's, again, it's one of those things that you didn't really think about at the time. It was what it was. And
right. Yeah, I mean, but it also sounds as though you did it all, you know, appropriately. Everything, you know, you were given the time to still be a kid and to work.
Yep, absolutely.
One of the things that Jennifer brought up is, and this is our, like, we want to check, like, for a Cheyenne fact check. it's like Cheyenne say, actually Jennifer say, she said that you were vegan, like you were raised vegan. And she was
not vegan, vegetarian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Come on, Jennifer. No, she was just talking about that and how she pointed out, well, she said you were vegan, whatever, vegetarian, but how it was good to have somebody else there who had a focus in these eating habits. So I just wanted
Yeah,
Is that a lifestyle that you continue?
No, I was raised vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And I, until actually pretty close to college, I was, I stayed vegetarian. And even more than that, there was a focus on organic food and, sure. Healthy products, in our family. There's still somewhat of that focus, but, I have switched. I eat chicken now. I eat turkey, mostly just, chicken and turkey. I've never had red meat. I have had pork a little bit, but I'm not the biggest fan of it.
Mm-hmm. And you're a pretty active guy. I mean, when I was stalking you, I mean, just to put it bluntly, I know you do a bit of running with your wife, and you were raising funds a little while back for a foundation. Could you talk a little bit about that?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I could have sworn you were running for some form of to raise funds for something. I'm not really. I could be wrong.
Might you be thinking of the we just did a 5K it's raising funds for pediatric brain cancer. Is that
yeah? What that sounds about right. Of?
Okay. Yeah. So that's through the Nebraska Cornhuskers, through our local university, I don't know how much you follow college football at all.
Maybe
a few
Kelly
years
does,
back, but one of our team football team befriended a young child who was a big Husker fan who had. Brain cancer, and Jack Hoffman, and that turned into Team Jack, and they've done an amazing job of raising awareness for pediatric brain cancer, mm-hmm. and raising funds for it and all that over the past few years.
Well, it sounds extremely worthwhile, and and that's how I saw that you were doing a bit of running.
you're just getting all creepy about this.
Yeah. I'm just...
going back to the show, you touched a little bit on some episodes, you know, that you remember, fondly filming and that you really enjoyed, and kind of how you spent your time on the set. Do you have kind of like an overall favorite memory just from your time, either like from something from shooting or just something from hanging out on the set?
Mm. Again, that's a pretty big question. It's hard to narrow it down to just one thing. Mm-hmm. There was so much that was fun. We did have a water gun fight on the set one day. that was a lot of fun. Oh man.
But were there like shenanigans like that going on? Like, was it a pretty, I guess, fun set? Like, people had a pretty good sense of humor about things?
Yeah, it definitely was a fun set. We, I don't think that we invented this game, but I don't know where it came from. But we, and when I say we, it was mostly me, but the game is that we would try to pin a clothespin onto somebody without them knowing it.
Like a kitchen sign or something.
I got pretty good at it. And,
that sounds awesome. That sounds like something
for quite a while.
That sounds like something, I don't know if either of you have ever seen or watched the show, Impractical Jokers. That sounds like something they would do. They like come up with stupid, you know, kind of like stupid fun stuff like that. They'll be like in a grocery store and it'll be like whoever can put the most pencils on a person wins or something. But it sounds like something like that. But that sounds really fun. So when you're putting the pins on people, did you just have to put it on them, or did you have to actually like clip it to them, like close it? Like, were there rules and regulations for what counted?
Oh yeah. No, yeah. You had to like actually pin it on them on their shirt, and as you got better and better at it, then you would increase the difficulty. You'd try to get it more. Because when we first started, it would just be like on the back of their shirt or something like that. But then you tried to make it more difficult. You put it on the bottom of their shorts, or put it on their collar, on, you know, like on their side, so there's more chance that they would see you in their peripheral vision. Or then one time I got a guy, I instead of using clothespins, I used the big clamps that like the grips used on the lights.
Yeah.
So just increasing the difficulty of it.
Were there double points to put it on Jane Seymour or Joe Lando? Or the wedding dress, you know, it's like kind of like get it on. Well, actually, did any of that kind of end up on camera, like, which would be kind of epic, you know, like if you
I was just going to ask before my cough attack if anyone ever like filmed the scene and then discovered afterwards, like, I've had this clothespin on me the whole time.
Sean!
I don't remember that happening, but I'm not saying that it didn't.
I'm going to be watching these scenes with a very keen eye moving forward.
I'm going to be zooming in on every outfit and trying to figure out if there's a...
Exactly.
That's right.
Did you have the opportunity to keep any artifacts from the show? Like, do you have any Dr. Quinn stuff from the set, or like scripts or anything, you know, that you're able to keep?
Yeah, I've got a few items. I do have, I've got the scripts somewhere tucked away in storage somewhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have one of Brian's shirts from an early season, a blue plaid one. That
I remember that one.
Super small now.
Yeah.
And then I've got the hats that I wore throughout the series. And the first movie there. And then I've got just a couple of random things that, like, I have the stuffed bunny that Katie played with. I don't know how it ended up in my house.
That's awesome, though, that you have, you know, it's like these are pretty, you know, it's such an eventful part of your young life. And to actually have these things is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I've got them. I've got the hats and the shirt hanging up on a wall in our basement, kind of next to some of our. I'm a really big Star Trek fan, so I've got some Star Trek pictures and artifacts and stuff like that down there too. So it's kind of my media TV room.
Yeah,
that's so Brian. But I think that's really cool. You know, I'm sorry, Kelly, I just cut you off.
No, I think we cut each other off.
Go on.
I was going to move to the next question.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Have another point you want to make about that. Did you, what kind of fan mail did you receive while you were on the show? Do you still have any of that? Or was there anything that was memorable that someone sent you?
Oh, I don't think that I still have anything from the show. It still occasionally will get something in the mail, but it's pretty rare anymore. It's been so long ago, I don't really remember anything in particular that was.
But no issues, right? Like no creepy no issues or anything like that. Like creepy stalkers.
No.
You always hear these weird stories, you know.
Yeah. No. Nothing.
Good.
Too crazy.
That's a relief. Yeah, Dr. Quinn fans are, for the most part, I think, safe. You know, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not hunting anyone down.
Usually pretty good people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning anyway. For a show I never watched, it's something that I'm really enjoying kind of learning about and meeting all of these fans. Do you keep in touch with any of the other cast members, previous cast members?
A few. As time goes on, you know, you fall more and more out of contact. I'm friends with a few on Facebook. We keep in contact a little bit. It's nice to there was a reunion get together probably about 5 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
that was good to see everybody again. And then we did the Zoom call script reading thing last year during during the pandemic, and that was good to see everybody and kind of talk to everybody again.
Yeah, it's weird. The pandemic seemed to do that with a lot of different productions.
Yeah.
And it was good to see a lot of people come together in that way. You know, there's something about it that's very, of course, bittersweet, under the circumstances. But it is always good to see, you know, people just kind of come back and do those type of things.
It was a terrible thing, but it was a nice opportunity to take that time and to reconnect with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you ever consider doing like another reunion, what the third movie would it be?
Yeah, it would be.
You know, is that something that you would ever think like, you know what, I have one more Brian in me?
Yeah, I would be up for that, yeah, for sure.
It's like Dr. Quinn 1893 or whenever, you know, like if you go into the future.
Yeah, like whatever is like 30 years later.
Dr. Quinn Prohibition Woman or something. Hank is there, you know, with his whole like speakeasy.
Yeah, it would definitely be a different experience for sure. But yeah, I would be definitely game for it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I think it's one of these things that I think that there's a fan base out there that would enjoy it. And, we're just always bringing up these type of things to try to hopefully plant a seed in someone's head.
No, I think you're right. I think that the desire is out there. And I don't know. I mean, look at all the reboots and restarts of shows that have happened in the past two or three years. I think it's the opportunity is there. Just whether we can seize it or not.
Yeah. I think it would be a very interesting thing. I mean, and for me, especially since I'm so new to it, but I would imagine people who have been, you know, fans of yours for well over two decades would have a lot of interest in it.
Yeah.
Mark, you're like a new fan, but you're like, but I can't get enough.
I can't get enough.
I need more.
Yeah, right. I need my own wolf. I need an inflatable wolf. That's what I need.
Yeah.
Good wolf. Do you ever go and look at these different things over the years, like the different websites that existed, the fan sites, and what is your take on the fans, I guess? You know, like... Like, do you want to, like, how do I put it? Do you know what I'm trying to say, Kelly? Kind of like the entire fan culture for the show is really tremendous. And now it seems like it's kind of worldwide. What do you think about all of that? Like the, you know, new fans coming to Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And Mark, you're obviously the perfect example of it. It's interesting to me that we are still gaining new fans. I mean, the show has been off the air for, I don't know, what has it been, 23 years now? Like, yeah. it's very interesting to me that there's still a new kind of generation of fans that are discovering the show or rediscovering the show.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fans. I think that it's great. There's always been such great support for the show. And even when the fan base has shrunk, the ferociousness of the fan base has shrunk over the years, that core group is still, fiercely loyal to the show and I mean, look at you guys starting a new podcast again, 23 years after the show is off the air.
Yeah.
That's interesting. they comment about it kind of like, you know, shrinking down a bit to like a core of really devoted fans. Because that makes me wonder how big it was to begin with, like how big this group of really like, you know, fierce fans, because in my experience, and I mean, like, Mark, you're a new fan coming into this, but just like with what we see online and like, you know, and like Facebook and Instagram and all of these groups and everything. And there are a lot of accounts that have a ton of followers. There are a lot of fan groups, you know, and some are bigger than others, but there really is a pretty large population out there that's pretty devoted to the show and make their demands for it to come back and everything. Yeah. But I mean, like, there really, there are a lot of people out there that are really devoted to it and have been, a lot of them, you know, that have been watching it since it originally aired.
Well, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it hasn't shrunk. Maybe it's just, I'm not as
involved in it.
Closely involved as I used to be. So.
Yeah. And it's probably, I'm sure the culture of it has kind of shifted a bit because obviously what the fan base looked like, say when the show was, you know, on the air or even shortly thereafter when like social media wasn't, you know, what it is, how it is now. And just with all the way that people use social media and use the internet now, I'm sure the culture of the fan base has kind of shifted somewhat, taken on new life in that way, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Sean, if I could ask one more question before we steal your entire evening away. So do you remember your audition? Do you remember like the time that you went and read for Brian?
Kind of.
I mean, you were such a little kid. That's why I'm kind of.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it's a pretty vague memory at this point. We've kept the memory alive because I've talked about it enough over the years, and you know, my parents have talked about it with me and all that kind of stuff. But I know the story of the audition.
Gotcha. It's like the gist.
If I actually remember, you know, going in the room and reading, you know, it's starting to get pretty pretty. Foggy at this point, but yeah, it was, and you may have heard the story already, but when they brought us back in to do a read together, they brought myself, Erica, and Chad all in together to do a reading, and the chemistry was very apparent even that early on.
Yeah, I kind of bought into the sibling trifecta there. I thought that you guys seemed to kind of like each other. And although I got to say, even with the Colleen 2 switch out, the connection was still there. So
maybe that just means you're
a really good actor. So
no, yeah, Chad and I we're pretty close. Mm-hmm. We still refer to each other as big brother and little brother and stuff like that.
So. That's great.
That's sweet.
Well, Sean, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this. You know, we really appreciate you doing this and taking the time. I know that, you know, you've really made an exit from this, you know, from acting and everything, even though we do have a hope for a third movie.
Yeah.
Obviously I've taken a step back from that career and changed my path a little bit, but it's not something that I'm actively pursuing anymore, but I wouldn't mind getting back into it. My wife went to school for acting and is now not doing anything with that degree, but she enjoyed it, and she teaches acting to little kids at our we homeschool April and our daughter, and they do a homeschool co-op, and so my wife teaches an acting class for the kids there, and she sure enjoys that. But we just recently kind of started to get the itch a little bit, and so we found a couples scene and just read it together just for the heck of it, and it was kind of fun getting back into the saddle again.
Yeah, so that sounds awesome. I mean, and you can share it with her, and she's like, oh my God, you're Brian.
Yeah, was the scene from Dr. Quinn?
No. Can you imagine? That would be awesome. But again, seriously, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. And
yeah, it's great hearing, you know, firsthand accounts, you know, from people who are there, and we're a big part of it. So we really appreciate you taking the time to kind of give us the scoop.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'd be more than happy to do it again sometime if you want.
All right, if we can trick you into doing one of like a review of an episode, maybe. But no obligations. We don't force people to commit.
Yeah.
And I promise not to stalk your Facebook anymore. So.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quinncast in iTunes.